And let's go ahead and have a seat. I want to praise God for awesome testimonies. Isn't God great? Yeah, it's great. I'm Pastor Howard Shea. I'm really happy to bring you this message this morning. And last week, remember, Pastor Ruth came and shared a very stirring message about revival. And last week, she shared about how God is going to pour out a great spiritual revival in the near future, and that we, as a younger generation, we're going to have a pivotal role in helping to usher in the revival that's coming. And so she challenged us last week that we need to consecrate ourselves and just live a holy life, you know, so that we can be used powerfully by God. And so today, I'd like to share, kind of follow up with that. We're going through a series called the Kingdom Series, Experiencing the Kingdom Together. And so my message today is going to be talking about following Christ's example to overcome temptation. So I'd like to start in a word of prayer first. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you, Lord, that we can come before you this morning. We just ask that you lift off all the cares and worries and distractions. And Lord, I pray that you be with me to speak the word effectively, and that you would just really speak through your word. And I pray that you would just bless our time together this morning. We will pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the things that living a holy life is, how do we deal with temptations in our life? How do we overcome temptations and sinful desires? And so last week, Pastor Ruth was just talking about how, you know, people in the Philippines, and you know, they were having a pivotal role in ushering the revival that came over there. And so I was really excited last week, especially when she talked toward the end. And so today we're going to take a look at Christ's example, because he's the one who gives us the ultimate example of how to overcome temptation. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, you know, he became a human to identify with us. And as a human, he also experienced all the temptations, all the struggles, and everything that we had, so that he can represent us and he can identify with us. And so today, as we're looking at the temptation of Christ, we can see how he used the word of God effectively to counter all the temptations. So we'll be taking a look at a couple of passages today. And I'd like us to read together the passage here in 1 John 2:15 to 17. Let's read this together. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Then the next scripture, Psalm 119, verse 9. Let's read that. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. And so if there's one key way that we can lead a holy life, it's to really meditate and obey the word of God. And so that's what I wanted to talk to you about this morning. And in the next slide, we're going to read the passage in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. And we're going to see how the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was able to effectively appropriate the word of God and use it to have victory over Satan's temptations. So let's read this together. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. For 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. Me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from there. For it is written, they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Okay, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. And this morning, I just want to talk the brief outline. As to, first of all, the devil has three temptations that he uses all the time against us. And then also, in this passage, we'll see that Christ overcame where Adam and Israel had failed. I just want to give you a little bit of a background in this temptation story. You know, Jesus was in the wilderness, and it's right before launching into his messianic ministry. And then also, he was tempted by the devil. And so, you know, if you were to look a little bit into the background of why Jesus did this, it is to set an example, a positive example, to counter the bad example of Adam. You know, Adam, he was in paradise. Then he rebelled against God by listening to the voice of the serpent, eating the forbidden fruit, and then they were cast into the wilderness. And then Israel, also, after they came out of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness, Israel rebelled against God. And so God punished them. And what was interesting was Adam, in Luke chapter 2, the genealogy of Jesus, Adam was called the Son of God. And then God the Father called Israel his firstborn son, too. So here, Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. He's the only begotten Son. And so when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he was setting a positive example to counter Adam and Israel. So I just want to give you a little background on that. And then we'll take a look at more specifics of Christ's example of how he used God's word to defeat temptation. Okay. So I like to talk about the three temptations that the devil likes to use all the time. And first temptation is the lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Now, the flesh talks about our unredeemed human nature. It's part of our human body because we're still in our sinful bodies. We have sinful thoughts, sinful desires, and things that lead us to sin. And so the lust of the flesh has to deal with things like the physical desires which are sinful, or rebellion, anger, hatred, all those type of things, lust of the flesh. And then secondly, you have the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes is being covetous and greedy over all the things that the world provides for us, riches, materialisms, and powers. It's the sin of greed and covetousness for the things of this world. And then thirdly, the pride of life is a sinful pride. It's not healthy self-esteem. It's a pride that wants to glorify yourself. So you boast of your achievements, you boast about your wealth, you boast about your possessions, and you act as though you are God. So you give credit to yourself. Okay? And so each one of these things, time and again, Satan is using these temptations. Okay, so let's take a look at the first temptation. He said, if you're the Son of God, and turn the stone into bread. And what was interesting is I was in Israel in 1990, and we went to the desert region, and we looked at the place where Jesus was probably tempted, and we looked at some of the stones. A lot of those stones looked like, you know, the size of a loaf of bread, you know, and so we were walking around, and we remembered about the temptation of Christ. And so what was interesting was Jesus was called to fast for 40 days in the wilderness, and he spent that time to spend with God, okay? And so the first thing the devil tempted him is turn these stones into bread. So what is he saying? He's saying, use your miraculous powers to gratify your physical desires. Okay, and that was a temptation, not only during this time, but throughout his life. The devil tempted him to do that. Okay, so how did Jesus counter this temptation? Let's read the quote over there. Deuteronomy 8:3. Let's read that together. It said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what was very interesting, if you look at the next slide, is that During the 40 days that he was in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus Christ was meditating on the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy talks about the time when the Israelites were in the wilderness, and they rebelled against God, okay? And they forsook the Lord their God, and God punished them, okay? And so he was thinking about that, meditating on that. So where Israel had failed in their rebellion against God, Christ, the Son of God, he obeyed. Okay, he obeyed God's word, and he triumphed over the devil in the wilderness. Okay, so I'd like to share with you more specifics on what are some scriptural truths that we can meditate upon. And let's just read this together. This is a scriptural truth I always say to myself. We are a new creation. We have died to sin, and we're raised to a new life of holiness. I don't know about you, but what can help us when we're being tempted? Like when we're tempted for lust or some sort of a sinful desire, or we might be dealing with a habit that is hard for us to break. And I find this to be helpful, to just say these statements to myself. Like I would say, I am a new creation in Christ. Can you say that with me? I am a new creation in Christ. I have died to sin, and I'm raised to a new life of holiness. I have died to sin, I'm raised a new life of holiness. And so one of the things that is really life-changing is that God gives us the power to live a holy life. And my friends, do you know that your new self is your real self? Your new self as a believer, that's who you really are. You know, you are created by God to lead a holy life. Amen? Okay, you're no longer the same as you were when you were a non-believer, but you are a new creation. And so I like to remind myself of that, that I am a new creation. And so what I do now, what I think now, is to think righteous and holy thoughts. And so I say that to myself all the time, and that seems to help a lot. So the second temptation is the pride of life. So let's read this passage here. And this second temptation has to do... let me backtrack here. Here's some of the other temptations that Satan might tempt us with. The lust of the eyes, the craving for what we can desire with our eyes, our material possessions, our wealth, and then the pride of life, sinful pride and boasting of our achievements, wealth, and possessions. And so what can be able to help us to deal with these temptations? Okay, now, one practical example that's dear to me is that we can kind of closely monitor what we watch. I don't know about you, but my generation, we like to watch movies a lot, or TV shows. Okay, and so I like to ask myself this question. You know, what I watch, does this movie bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it help me to lead a godly life? Or does this movie glorify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the sinful pride of life? Now, I noticed that on Netflix, there's several different programs on Netflix. And in Netflix, there's some programs that are really good, and also there's some programs that seems to talk about, grabbing for power, talking about lust, talking about all these different things. And so, when I'm looking through Netflix, I have to really watch out to see, and I ask myself, does this movie bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? And so during the last month, I made a covenant with God, and I said, I'm just going to focus on your word. I'm just going to watch things that are pure and godly. And so that really helped me out a lot. So I want to challenge you today to ask yourself this question. Whatever you do, ask yourself this question. Does this entertainment bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ? Does this help me to reflect God's image? Okay, does this help me to live to my new self, or does it glorify the flesh? And I like to just challenge you with that. Now, the second temptation that we're going to deal with today is the pride of life. So let's read this passage in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 8. Let's read it together. It says, "The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it would be yours.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Okay, so that was the second temptation, the pride of life. Let's take a look at the third temptation. The third temptation is the devil led him up to Jerusalem, stand on the highest point in the temple. It says, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from there, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you fully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And what's really interesting about this verse is the devil actually used scripture at the second paragraph. He quoted from Psalm 91, verse 11 to 12. And so he was telling Jesus, "Why don't you show your miraculous powers? And God is going to send his angels to protect you." Okay? And then Jesus answered this, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." So one of the things that the devil can also do is he can misquote scripture. And that's what many of the different cults, they try to do. I was a Jehovah's Witness for over 10 years. And they misquote scripture to show that Jesus is not the Son of God, but a created angel. The Mormons, they also misquote scripture to say that we are gods. Okay, and so Satan likes to misquote scripture. But then Jesus said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So we see that the devil also tempts us with the lust of the eyes, craving for all that we can see, material riches, glamour, and glory. And that was something that he tempted Jesus with. He said, he was saying to Jesus, why do you have to go to the way of the cross? You know, you can just bow down and worship me. I'll give you all the glory. I'll give you all the glamour. I'll give you all the power right now. And you just bow down and follow me. And Jesus used the word of God to overcome the enemy. Okay, so we'll take a look at the third slide here. So Jesus countered Satan by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Let's read this together. Fear the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him. Okay, and I thought this was a really remarkable passage, because when we use the word of God, my friends, guess what? The devil has no defense. And then the devil is going to leave us. Amen? So that is the word of God. I'd just like to share with you an example from this past week. I was praying for several people that were going through some emotional abuse in their life. And we're praying for this one person had a really terrible family life in the past, and this person did not receive any love from their family, a lot of abuse and curses. So we were able to break those curses from this person. And I share with this person about the scripture about how God really loves her as a father, and she was able to receive that, and then a great healing took place in this person. You know, for the first time, this person was able to receive the love of God as her father. And it was an emotional breakthrough. So I want to tell you that when we appropriate a verse in our lives, it has the power to really change us. You know, when you meditate on the word of God, and I think some of you in Cornerstone have been doing some of these devotions, right, like how to meditate. You know, when you meditate on the word of God, and you appropriate the word of God, God releases his power through the word. So, you know, when we use the word of God to overcome temptation, it has real power to help us to lead a righteous life. Okay? I wanted to share with you how a scripture was really helpful to me. Have any of you been in a transition in your life? Like, you know, you're in between jobs, or you just graduated and you don't know what your future is like? Okay, I think you have been there before, right? Okay, now, I don't know about you, but I have a fear of the unknown. Do you have a fear of the unknown? I mean, like, you don't know what things are going to be like in the future, okay? And so I want to tell you that I have some good scripture promises, and they're going to be in the vestibule. So please pick one up, and these are very practical scriptures. And I wanted to share with you that I was reading through these scripture promises, and then one verse really grabbed my attention. It's almost like God saying, look at this verse, Howard. Okay, can we read this verse together? Okay, it says this: forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Okay, now for those of you who can identify with me, can you just do this little exercise with me? Okay, this is what I did when I meditated on the scripture. It really helped. First of all, just close your eyes for a minute. Okay, now picture yourself in the desert, and you're in the middle of nowhere. You're all by yourself, and you don't know where you're going. Okay, and then suddenly, as you're praying to God, suddenly in the middle of the desert, there's a road. There's a road leading to an oasis. Okay, and then the oasis, there's palm trees with fruit. There's a spring of water, and then, you know, very clear water, okay? And this stream is going to refresh you and also give you the pure, clean water that you need. Okay, can you open your eyes? Okay, did you get that picture? Okay, that was the picture that I did when I was meditating on this verse. Did you guys enjoy that? Okay, that was what I did all the time. For 3 months, I didn't know exactly where God was leading me, and I meditated on this verse. And then so every time I had the fear of the unknown, I said to God, God, streams in the wasteland. That's why I prayed to God. God, give me those streams in the wasteland. And guess what? You know, a month later, God opened an opportunity for me. Okay, and it was a wonderful opportunity, a ministry opportunity. So I just want to let you know that these scripture promises are really real. You know, when you meditate on scripture, and it could be like fear of the unknown, or it could be like a very difficult situation in your life, okay, you can appropriate these scripture promises, and God will be able to answer those things. Okay, go to the next slide here. And so I wanted to challenge you this morning to meditate on scripture, and also for a 7-day fast. Can we go to the next? Yeah. So I want to challenge you this morning. For 7 days, don't watch secular entertainment, but use that time to pray and meditate on God's word. Okay. Or watch movies that have godly content. Okay. Those are some things that would be really helpful to you. And also, share spiritual truths with one another. Okay, make God an important part of your conversation. Okay, rather than talking about sports, even though that's okay, or talking about other things, but make God a real part of your conversation to each other each week. Okay, and I've done that as well. And you know, when I was able to do that, just share about spiritual things, consciously make God part of your daily life. It really made a big difference. Okay, so let's go ahead to the next slide here. God is so powerful, and it will change our lives when we meditate on God's word. Amen? And so I just wanted to challenge that with you this morning. And so let's read this scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Let's read that together. It says, for the word of God is active and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attributes of the heart. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 22. So I just want to reiterate Pastor Ruth's message last week. Pastor Ruth says that the Lord is about to bring a great spiritual revival. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that revival. Are you? You know, the great spiritual revival where, you know, he's going to transform our community. He's going to bring many people to Christ, and young people have a crucial part to play to usher in this big revival. And so I would like to challenge us this week just to repent and reconsecrate ourselves to God every day, you know, to pray for people around us and to ask God to lead us through the Holy Spirit, and to also to heal many people. So I'd like to ask Pastor Dennis to come up here at this time and just lead us in closing right now.
In prayer. There's one more passage of scripture that I wanted to read to us, because the last couple of weeks it's been a call to repentance and a call to consecration, a call to overcome temptations. And there certainly is a part for us to play in that, for us to have our hearts right before God. But I want to read you Psalm chapter 40, verse 2. And I want to remind you of God's part. Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. It's referring to God. Out of the mud and mire, he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. I'm going to read it again. This is God's part. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. At the end of the service last week, Pastor Baldwin was saying that consecration, a call to repentance, is not a one-time thing. In this season, God's going to illuminate to us certain areas of our lives, certain areas of our church and even generation that we need to make right before him. But of course, it's not on our willpower that we are going to be able to have the breakthrough. It's God who's the one that's going to lift us up out of the slimy pit. Something that I've been feeling for us in this season is that some of us are in a slimy pit. We want to get out. All of our willpower is to get out. But this slimy pit, we keep sliding back down. And ultimately, we need God. Again, please hear me. We have our part of repentance, consecration, our will submitted to God. Yet some of us, it's just a desperate call out to God, for him to lift us out of the slimy pit that we keep on sliding down into the mud and the mire. It's God who lifts us up out of it and sets our feet on a rock. So this morning, all eyes closed and heads bowed, because people are going to make some really personal communication with God right now. Are you here this morning? Heard these messages of repentance, consecration, overcoming temptation, and you're saying yes to it. But in this course of these last 3 weeks, maybe even, you feel like you're in a slimy pit. Your willpower is to climb up, but you feel like you keep on sliding back down. I just want to remind you of who God is. He's the God who lifts us out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, sets our feet upon a rock. All eyes closed and heads bowed, just lift your hand all the way up and then down. Just real quick up, real quick down, if that's you. I just feel like we need to pray together for that. Are you feeling like you're in the slimy pit and you're saying, God, help me? Just put hand all the way up and then down. Father, you see our hands going up all over the place. Received the word of these past couple weeks, so powerful last week, a call to consecration, a call to repentance. You see our heart and the fast that we did the first 5 days of the year, where there was a lot of freedom in that. And yet, God, we also come to you this morning just with the reality of our lives, and some of us in the slimy pit, stuck in the mud and the mire, and we're saying, God, do only what you can do, not on our willpower, not on our might, not on our strength, but by your spirit. As a prophet Zechariah said long ago. So Father, we just pray today, lift us out by your power in Jesus' name. We receive this message today to overcome temptations the same way that Jesus did. we want to do that, and yet we recognize that we are just weak human beings. We need the intervention of Holy Spirit in our lives, in our church, to do this. We're going to close out our service in just a moment. In fact, right now, the worship team, you can come up, prayer team, if you can come up. And we're going to close out the service as we normally do. We sing two songs of worship. I feel like that in this season, the Spirit is moving, and he doesn't just give us a word like consecrate yourself, repent, just make your lives right. But Psalm chapter 40, verse 2, God has to do his part in our lives. This one, when our prayer team is up here, we want to pray for any and all needs, so no one's going to know why you come up. But if this morning you find yourself in the slimy pit, I just feel like that in this season, God is here. He's not just telling us the things that we must do, the things that we must do make right, but he is the God who helps us. And so I want to call you to respond to that. I feel like that there's lots of freedom and there's lots of God's anointing for that today. But any and all needs, if there's healing, there's needs of healing, there's needs of breakthrough in different things, family, relationships, etc., we'd love to pray for you as well. Let's stand together. So Father, as we worship to these next two songs, we submit ourselves to you. We place our focus upon you, the God who lifts us out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and sets our feet upon a rock. In Jesus' name, amen.